الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فإن الله كان عفوا قديرا، وقال الله تعالى في مقام آخر: إن الله كان عفوا غفورا، وقال الله تعالى في مقام آخر: وكان الله عفوا غفورا. وقال الله تعالى في مقام آخر: خذ العفو وأمر بالعرف وأعرض عن الجاهلين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، والسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. In addition to being Al-Halim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also Al-Afu. Halim means that being who is forbearing, and Al-Afu means that being was very extremely intensely forgiving. The word afu in Arabic language, it means to overlook the mistakes of a person, to forgive that person, to leave, to let it go. That being who is very forgiving. And one aspect of this forgiveness, which is mentioned, captured in this word al-afu, is that it refers to that being who removes the effect of sins, removes the sins, and also removes all the effects, the negative effects of sins. Whenever a person does any sin, there is a negative effect. Either some musiba comes in a person's life, there's some be'itminani, lack of itminan and peace and solace in the heart. Person feels empty from inside. Sometimes our du'as are not readily accepted. Sometimes tawfiq to do good deeds, that's taken away. These are all effects of sins. And Allah Ta'ala is that being who removes the sin and also the effects of sins. Al-Afu, Allah Ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to make tawbah, and Allah Ta'ala enables us to do good deeds, and because of those good deeds, they become a kafara of the bad deeds. Our good deeds, they wipe away misdeeds. So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, through tawbah, through our good deeds, and through even intercession of other people, Allah Ta'ala can wipe away our sins, and Allah removes the effect of our sins. Such a being is called Al-Afu. And another aspect of Al-Afu is that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, He continually overlooks many of our sins. Continually overlooking the sins of His servants. And Allah Ta'ala keeps on doing this. The only condition is that a person should not do shirk. As long as a person stays away from associating partners with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala continually and consistently, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala keeps on overlooking many of the sins that the servants do. Allah does not hold any people accountable for those sins. Allah lets them go, overlooks those mistakes, forgives them. The way we can understand this is when a mother, she has love for her child. So in her child, she, in the love for that she has for her child, she overlooks many of the faults of her son. Someone comes and says to her that your son is like this, like that. She notices, she knows, but she forgives, she overlooks. Why? Because she has muhabba, she has mercy. Allah Ta'ala is also the most merciful. Allah Ta'ala, many of our sins that we're not even held responsible, accountable, Allah just overlooks them. Or sometimes Allah gives tawfiq to make tawbah. Because of our good deeds, Allah wipes away all those sins. Similarly, this word Al-Afu also tells us something, that Allah Ta'ala is that being, that to forgive is an inseparable attribute of his being. And sometimes you say, no, this person is an artist, this person is a writer. And what we mean is that writing is a part of him. He is a writer, that's his attribute, that's his sifat, that's who he is. In the same way, to forgive is the inseparable attribute and sifat of Allah Ta'ala. That is what he is. Allah Ta'ala is that being who is extremely forgiving, whose attribute is to forgive, to overlook the mistakes of his servants. And every single person, they need this forgiveness. Every single person, they depend on his forgiveness. Just like we depend on Allah Ta'ala's mercy, just like Allah Ta'ala continues to give us food and drink. Why? Because of his mercy. And not just us, every single person, whoever they are, people of Iman, not of Iman, every person, they benefit from Allah's mercy. Allah continues to give them food, drink, rizq, provision, izzah, honor, everything. And the same way, Allah Ta'ala continues to overlook our shortcomings because of his sifat that he is Al-Afu. Allah continues to overlook the shortcomings of all of creation. Puri makhluk, all the makhluk, they're forgiven. They're continually being forgiven. Allah is saving them from the negative effects of their actions. In a riwayah, it's mentioned that Allah Ta'ala is that being, if this sifat of Afu was not there, then all the people, all creation would not have been able to stay on this earth. They would have been destroyed. But the fact that Allah Ta'ala forgives and Allah Ta'ala is most forgiving is Al-Afu, means that Allah continues to overlook the shortcomings, our mistakes, our sins. If you want to understand the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in one ayat that we recited at the beginning, Allah Ta'ala says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَفُوًا عَفُوًا قَدِيرًا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is afu, is most forgiving, and at the same time is qadira. So again, you have a pairing here. Yesterday we did Aliman Halima, Rahim and Rahman. Now you have another pairing here, afuwan qadira. That Allah has full qudrat, full ability. But despite having that full ability, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to forgive. Allah Ta'ala is most forgiving. Yani the word afu refers to that being who has the ability to hold someone accountable and then forgives. If there is someone who doesn't have the ability, then that person is incapable. He doesn't have that ability. That person will not be afu. That person will be ajiz. They don't even have the qudrat to take someone responsible or to hold someone accountable. So afu refers to that being who has the ability and complete ability. And Allah Ta'ala, so he has all the qudra, qadira, has complete, absolute, full capability, ability to hold every single person responsible for every single misdeed that they have done. But Allah Ta'ala is afu. Allah lets it go. Allah Ta'ala overlooks it. Allah Ta'ala ignores it. Allah Ta'ala forgives it. And Allah Ta'ala continually keeps on doing this to all of his servants, as long as they don't do shirk. This is that being who is Al-Afu. How forgiving is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah ta'ala is so forgiving that He forgives those who have sinned for hundreds of years. People who were unbelievers, people who used to associate partners with Allah for 100 years, they would come, ask for forgiveness, and Allah ta'ala would forgive them also. An old man who has lived his whole life in obscenity, vulgarity, sins, transgressions, rebellion, and he's now all alone. His wife has died, he has no children, no near relative with him, he's living in some other relative's house. They also say one day that you cough bad, your cough is very bad the whole night, our children are getting distressed, you should leave our house, find some other place. Now this old man, he gets out of the house. He thinks, you know, I have no siblings, no parents, no support. Where should I go? Now in his old life, in his old age, now he remembers Allah Ta'ala's house. Now he's trying to come to the masjid. He's running out of breath. He has a crooked back, skeleton, bony body coming, leading towards the masjid. When he comes to the masjid, Allah Ta'ala does not criticize him. Allah Ta'ala does not hold him accountable. That when you were young, you kept running after sins, you gave all your youth to beauty and chasing after beauty. And now, when you have nothing left, you have no teeth in your mouth, no intestines, nothing. This is your situation today, weak and old and crippled. Now you come to my house. Allah Ta'ala does not say that. That old man, if he reaches today in front of him, that Allah, I wasted my whole life in sins. Now I realize that I have no one except for you. Allah Ta'ala is so forgiving that Allah Ta'ala will forgive all of his sins. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that I don't only forgive you. If you come walking to me, my rahmat will come running towards you. You come one palm, one hand span, I will come walking. You come walking, I'll come running to you. My rahmat, my mercy will come running towards you. So the more person has, the more hope and husn-e zan the person has with Allah, the more hopeful they are about Allah, then Allah Ta'ala rahmat, Allah Ta'ala's mercy welcomes that person. This is the sifat of Allah Ta'ala, the fact that Allah Ta'ala is al-afu, He is the most forgiving. He is most forgiving. And in addition to that, there is another sifat, another word that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, which is, one is afwa, and the other Arabic word is safaha, wasfahu, fa'fu wasfahu. Now, afwa means that you forgive someone. And this other word, safaha, means that it's more intense, that you forgive that person. And not only you forgive that person, but you forgive him in such a complete, perfect way that it's almost like you forget the mistake that that person has ever done. To forgive and to forget. And that's why in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this word for us. Fa'fu wasfahu. That they should forgive and they should forget. And they should live happily with each other. And this actually are the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is that being who overlooks, who forgives, who ignores, who lets it go, who leaves, despite having the ability. And then Allah ta'ala forgives it in such a complete way that it's almost Allah completely forgets that mistake is completely wiped away. That is as if that person has never done that mistake. That's how kamil and mukammal Allah ta'ala's forgiveness is. And sometimes we should use this ayat of the Quran to make dua to Allah. That, O Allah, you have said in the Quran, fa'fu wasfahu. And you are telling us that when we interact with other people, how should we interact? Fa'fu, then we should forgive them. Wasfahu, we should forget about what they have done to us. And we should live happily with them. So, fa'fu wasfahu. Allah, if we are being told, Allah, we who are so weak, you have made us weak, khuliqal insanu za'ifa. Allah, if you are commanding us people, us who are so weak, to forgive and to forget, then Ya Allah, it befits your shan that we ask you. Allah, we come to you and we ask you the same thing, that Allah, you also deal with us in the same way. Allah, just like you want us, these two attributes are so mahabub and beloved to you, that you want us to deal with your servants in such a manner that we forgive and we forget. Allah, we are your servants. Allah, we come to you when we ask you. Allah, deal with us with these two sifat. Allah, apply these two attributes on us also. Allah, fix these, proceed with us in such a manner with these two attributes. Fa'afu wasfahu. Allah, forgive our mistakes, forget our mistakes. So there's no need for a person to become depressed, even if they have sinned. Because Allah says, La taqnatu min rahmatillah. So no matter how many sins a person has, a person should never be depressed. They should never despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, they should have husn-e-zan. They should think well about Allah in all situations. Because there's a hadith of Qudsi where Allah says, Ana inda zanni abdi bi. I am with my servant as to think about me. So when a person thinks about Allah's sifat of al-afu, the sifat that Allah can forgive, Allah can even wipe away our mistakes completely, then a person should, when they think about the rahmah, then this will put them, give them hope. And that hope will enable a person to do rujoo ila Allah, turn back to Allah Ta'ala, and that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. In fact, the sifat is so powerful that the more and more a person reflects on this attribute of Allah, the more they will fall in love with Allah. That we think about someone who may be your cook or your driver, someone who's your matahit and who makes a lot of mistakes. And if you have a very shafiq, a very compassionate malik or an owner the employer, then the employer would keep on forgiving the small little mistakes. He knows that these people, they are weak. Maybe they don't have that ability. Maybe they don't have that strength. He will keep on overlooking. Why? Because not because of the person, but because he himself is quite afu. He is forgiving. Or take another example, like a teacher and a student. This often happens that in the class, you have all kinds of students. You have an A+ student. And day one, you can sort of tell, you get an idea that this is it's a good student. And then there are also others who might be a bit weak in their studies, or might be a bit weak in terms of their learning or grasp the concepts quite quickly. So if you have a compassionate teacher, then we have seen in our own life that that teacher, he deals very softly with those people who are below average. He deals very gently with them and he overlooks their mistakes. A lot of times those students are committing so many blunders, mistakes, but he overlooks their shortcomings, their deficiencies. That doesn't hold them responsible, doesn't hold them accountable for those mistakes. Why? It's not because of the student. It's because the teacher is very compassionate and very forgiving. So if Allah Ta'ala has put this sifat inside of human beings, that they can manifest this and they can let go and overlook the shortcomings. Now imagine that being where there is complete perfection, complete kamal of this sifat, who is the epitome of this sifat, how much forgiving would that being be? Allahu Akbar. How intense would that forgiveness be? How much Allah Ta'ala would love to overlook and forgive our mistakes. And that is why one of the most famous du'as that all of us should also make in Ramadan, especially the last Ashra, is the du'a that the Prophet ﷺ has taught us in a sunnah. Very beautiful du'a. Allahumma, most of us would know this dua. Those who don't know this dua, they should memorize it. Very simple. I can repeat this one or two or three times and all of us would be able to memorize this. But it's a very powerful dua and a dua for Ramadan, especially the last 10 days. What's the dua? The Arabic is, Allahumma innaka afu. Allahumma innaka afuun kareemun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. The three parts to it. Allahumma innaka afuun kareemun. Thiru Allah, you are afu and you are kareem. Tuhibbul afwa. Allah, you love forgiveness. You love to forgive. Fa'fu anni. So Allah, please forgive me. Very beautiful. And if you look at the meanings, they're also quite beautiful here. Every word is quite deep. We begin the dua by saying, Allahumma, O Allah, innaka afuwan. So it's direct. You are sort of addressing Allah Ta'ala. Allah, you, as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are addressing Allah, that Allah, you are afuwan. You are that being who loves to forgive, who is very forgiving, extremely intensely forgiving. So we explain that word to Yafu. Then, innaka afuwan kareemun. You're also kareem. Kareem means that even those people who are very weak, who are maybe disobedient, who are transgressors, who continue to leave the way of Iman, leave the way of Islam, leave the way of your Qurban closeness, Allah, you continue to be kareem with them. You continue to be merciful towards them. You don't deprive them. Kareemun. Right? That that Allah Ta'ala, despite a person continuously falling short of your commandments, falling short of ita'at, falling short of ibadat, falling short of your zikr, continuing to soil ourselves in sin, continuing to bruise ourselves with sins, right? With disobedience. Still, Ya Allah, you are a Kareem. That such a person himself on his own does not have the face to come before you and to ask anything from you. He doesn't have that face, doesn't have any sifat, doesn't have any qabiliyyah to come before you. But Allah, the fact that you are a Kareemun, Kareemun means that you are that being who even with such people who are so bad, who are so not even worthy of this, but Allah, your sifat of Kareem means that you don't deprive such a person also. And that's why Allah, we come to you and we invoke you with these names. Innaka, Allah, invoke you that innaka afu, you are most forgiving and Kareemun. Allah, your rahmah, you don't deprive anyone of your rahmah. No matter how bad they are, no matter how much they fall short of disobedience, of ita'at and ibadat and zikr. Then, tuhibbul afwa. So in other words, by this time we have said that dua that Allah, we want you to have mercy upon us. Because karam, kareem means that being who will not deprive anyone of his karam, of his rahmah. Anyone, no matter how bad they might be. And then after that, we make dua to Allah. Allah, forgive us. And tuhibbul afwa. In fact, before we ask for Allah to forgive us, we add another sifat of Allah, which is that Allah, that you're not only intensely forgiving, but tuhibbul afwa, this action of forgiving is beloved to you. You love to forgive. You love to forgive. Yani when you forgive someone, then you are actually doing one of your beloved actions. You're doing something which you love. So tuhibbul afwa, and then after that, finally, fa'fu anni. So Ya Allah, forgive me. In other words, we are saying that Ya Allah, that action which you love to do, Allah, do that action with me. Forgive me. Allah, you love to forgive. Allah, do that beloved action of yours, which is forgiving. And Allah, make me the embodiment of that forgiveness. Allah, make me the misdaq of that forgiveness. Apply that beloved action of yours on me. Yani, make your sifat. As a Mullah Ali Qari, he's a very big muhaddis, Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayh. He has done translation of this dua as follows, that Allah Ta'ala is that being who loves to manifest his attribute of forgiveness on his servants and to forgive them. Yani Allah loves to manifest, loves to make apparent this attribute of his, that Allah is forgiving. So Allah loves to manifest his attribute of forgiveness on his servants. And that's what we are saying in this dua, that Allah, just make this attribute of forgiveness apparent on us. Make it manifest on us. Let it proceed upon us. Allah, stamp this beloved action of yours on us. Right? Proceed upon us with your beloved action of forgiveness, and Allah forgive us. And this is such a beautiful dua. You recite the words and you think about the meaning and you feel a coolness in your heart. Allahumma innaka afuun kareemun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. That, oh Allah, let this beloved action of forgiveness, Allah, proceed upon me, apply this over me, make it manifest and apparent over me. So we should make this dua in abundance in this month of Ramadan. There is another dua which all of us can make, how we can attract the afu, how we can attract this forgiveness of Allah. It's a shorter dua. Ya Rabbi afuka afuka. This is also a very blessed dua because it begins with Ya Rabbi. We declare that Ya Allah, you are my Rabb. Allah, you are my nourisher, my sustainer, my creator, my cherisher. Allah, you have given to me everything. You are my Rabb. You are doing my rububiyah, my tarbiyah, my upbringing. Allah, everything about me, Allah, you are taking care of me. You are my caretaker. So, Ya Rabbi, and then Afwuka. Allah, I ask you for your forgiveness. And you repeat this, Afwuka, Afwuka. However, in order for a person to get this forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is one important condition, which is that if we want to be forgiven by Allah, we also have to learn to forgive other people. And the more quick we are to forgive other people, the more quick Allah ta'ala will be to forgive us. And that is why in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions one of the attributes of people who are beloved in the sight of Allah, as there's an ayat, and in fact there is a whole story which is related with that ayah. As Zainul Abidin rahmatullah alayh, it's narrated about him that once he had someone to help him, some girl. And she was helping him do wudu. And while he was doing wudu, the utensil which had water, that fell from her hand. And his hand became sort of bruised because of that utensil. And he looked at her and she was very young, but she was very intelligent. So when he looked at her with slight, you know, with that gaze of sort of anger, so immediately she recited this ayat of the Quran, وَالْقَازِمِينَ الْغَيْثِ, which means that Allah, this is the attributes of those people whom Allah Ta'ala loves. And the first thing in this ayah is وَالْقَازِمِينَ الْغَيْثِ, those who love to swallow their anger. Those who swallow their anger. So when she recited this ayah, he immediately controlled his anger. This was the hilm, the forbearance. So recite the ayah. This was actually amal bil Quran. You listen to the ayah and immediately responded by controlling his anger. Then she continued that ayah. The next part is wal afina anin nas, and that they love to forgive people. This word afwa, afina anin nas, they love to forgive. So when she said this, Zainul Abidin rahmatullah said to her that, okay, I've forgiven you. And now she realized that the iron is hot, I can strike my final blow. She decided the last ayah, Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin, that Allah loves those people who do righteous, who do ihsan, who do excellent deeds. And Zainul Abidin rahmatullah said that, okay, if you want to, you're set free. Right? You can go wherever you want to go, you don't have to serve me. So she was given the choice to leave if she wants to. So this is three sifat that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran about those. These are three attributes about those people who are beloved in the sight of Allah. Wal qazimin al ghayz, they control their anger, have hilm, forbearance. Then addition to that, on top of that, wal afina anin nas, this is beyond that, beyond forbearance. They forgive. They forgive anin nas, all humanity. Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin, and Allah loves the people of ihsan. Allah loves the people who do excellent deeds. So we should also try to become people of forgiveness. And in fact, it's not simply that we will be forgiven if we forgive other people, but Allah Ta'ala in one ayat of the Quran, in a very clear command, Allah Ta'ala has told us that we should adopt and adorn ourselves with this sifat of af. It's a hukum. Allah says, khuzil afwa, that adopt forgiveness. Khuz literally means that hold on to it, grab it. That remain steadfast on forgiveness. This should become your attribute. Wa'amur bil urfi, and then counsel one another, command one another on good deeds. Wa'ariz anil jahileen, and stay away from those who are ignorant. So in this ayah, the first command that Allah Ta'ala gives us is that we should adopt forgiveness as one of our akhlaq. This is one central akhlaq that Allah Ta'ala in Quran is commanding us. And when this ayat was revealed, the Prophet ﷺ, he asked Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam that what does this ayah mean? What does this word mean, khuzil afwa, to take forgiveness or to adopt forgiveness? And in reply, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, he said that إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَكَ أَن تَعْفُوَ أَمَّنْ ظَلَمَكَ, that Allah Ta'ala is actually commanding you that you should forgive that person who does zulm on you. You should forgive that person who oppresses you, who does an injustice on you. And then he continued, وَتُعْتِيَ مَنْ حَرَمَكَ, and you give to that person who does not give to you. You do ata, you give to spend on that person who does not give back to you. And lastly, وَتَصِلَ مَنْ قَطَعَكَ, and you join ties of kinship with those people who have severed ties of kinship from you. So three things are mentioned in this answer by Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, as a tashri', as a tafsir of this ayah. That forgiveness is not that you forgive someone who's your close friend, right? Forgiveness is someone, that also is forgiveness, but forgiveness is, real forgiveness is what Allah Ta'ala is commanding, inna lai amaraka, is that you forgive that person who has been bad to you, who has done zulm to you. And you give to that person who does not give to you. And you join ties of kinship with that person who severed ties with you. So this is something which we mentioned before also. Right? That this is real sila rahmi. This is real mending and patching of relationships. Otherwise, that's tijarat. If someone does good to you and you do good to that person, that's barter. That's trade. Real neki and good deed and sila rahmi and afu is that you do good with that person who's doing bad to you. And that's why in one hadith the Prophet ﷺ, he took a qasam and he said that there are three things, and I swear by, I take an oath about these three things, that these three things are absolutely haq. They're absolutely certain. There is no doubt or skepticism about these three things. Number one, that when you give sadaqah, this will not reduce your wealth. Subhanallah, right? So this is the month of Ramadan, also the month to increase our sadaqah. And the Prophet ﷺ took a oath and a qasam that sadaqah will not reduce your wealth in any way whatsoever. Second thing, that whoever asks makhluk, then Allah, whoever begins to ask from people or makhluk, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will close his own door. Yani that person will remain sort of needy and dependent on other people. If he is turning away from the door of Allah and asking for his needs to different people, then that person will remain dependent on other people. And the third thing, that if there is someone who has been oppressed, someone does zulm on a person, and that person does sabr, the mazloom does sabr, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to increase the izzat of that person. So if someone does zulm, some injustice upon you, and you don't respond back, rather you have sabr, patience, you forgive, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to increase the izzat. Allah is going to increase your izzat. And the Prophet ﷺ, he swore, he took an oath when he said these three things. So we need to become people who forgive, and we should remember that, especially in the month of Ramadan, sometimes what happens is that we have this, you know, enmity, and the reason why we're not able to forgive normally is because of this, you know, someone does something to us and as a result we have this enmity or hatred or some spite or malice in our heart. And that keeps there, and that's, you know, just stays there inside our heart, and that prevents us from forgiving the other person. I want all of us, we want to remind ourselves of this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, which is about Ramadan and Laylatul Qadr. The Prophet ﷺ said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he forgives all the sinners are forgiven on Laylatul Qadr. All the sinners are forgiven on Laylatul Qadr. However, that person who has some hatred or kina, some malice for fellow believers, that person will not be forgiven even on this night. Yani imagine we are doing Taraweeh, we are praying Salah, we are fasting, and we have a lot of fikr and concern about these good things that we are doing. At the same time, one other concern we should have in this month, we have to forgive other people. We have to remove this stain from our heart, this malice, this hatred from our heart for other people, this dirt from our heart. Yani agar, if we keep on increasing our good deeds, this malice or this spite is such a severe illness that this person will be deprived not just of the barakat of Ramadan, this person will be deprived of the barakat of Laylatul Qadr. Allahu Akbar. So this is first and foremost a reminder to myself and then to all of you that before we leave this gathering, if we have any such relationships where you have some spite or hatred or malice towards them, for the sake of Allah, we should forgive them so that we can become recipients of the barakat and rahmate of Ramadan and of Laylatul Qadr. We can be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a very common sin that, which it's called kina, by the way, in Arabic. It's a very widespread spiritual ailment. We have a slight ikhtilaf and disagreement with someone, something happens which we don't like, and then that dislike stays in our heart for that person. The Sharia teaches us that you should not hate the sinner, you should hate the sin. Right? Don't hate the sinner. Don't have hatred for that person. And if today we make niyat to remove this from our hearts, then Allah Ta'ala can grant us the tawfiq. It's just about niyat. We make that intention that I want to purify my heart of this, of such emotions, of such feelings. I want to forgive other people. The Prophet he's mentioned a hadith. This is actually one of the signs of a jannati person. Person will be in Jannah, that he doesn't have such thoughts in his heart for other people, such malice or hatred for other people. He is a person who loves to forgive, forgives everyone. Once the Prophet was with some Sahaba Ikram, and there was one person who was coming to that gathering, and the Prophet said that, look, a Jannati Sahabi is coming. A Jannati is coming. So one Sahabi in that gathering, he says that I thought that I want to find out that what is so special about that person that the Prophet ﷺ is saying that this person is Jannati. So I went up and I asked him that, can I become your guest for 3 days? And he said that, yes, you can come stay with me. You can be my guest. And he said that I stayed with him for 3 days. 3 days, 3 nights, and I used to look at his amal, the actions, very carefully. That what is that khas, special amal that he is doing because of which the Prophet is giving him the glad tidings of Jannah? And he says that I saw that he was not doing any special amal, any special ibadah. Whatever the other Sahaba Ikram were doing, he was also doing the same thing. Nothing special or extraordinary. 3 days passed by, I didn't see anything extraordinary. So I took permission to leave. And then I also told him that, you know, I came for this reason, but I didn't see anything in you. And he also said that, yes, I don't have any special amal. However, there is one thing which I do every day. So he asked him, what is it? What do you do? He said that when I sleep at night, so I, in my heart, I forgive the mistakes of every person who has done zulum to me. I forgive the mistakes of every Muslim, and I clean my heart, I purify my heart. I empty my heart of any such feelings, and then I go to sleep. And then it became known that this was that one amal because of which the Prophet ﷺ has said, had given him the glad tidings of Jannah. So this is a small amal. And why can't we also follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ? And we also, before we go to sleep, that we, any moment, any believer, whatever issues we have, if you have any ranjish, some pain, some hurt, some such bad feelings, so we make dua to Allah Ta'ala, and for the sake of Allah, we forgive that person. And we remove that ill feeling or ill will from our heart. And we purify our heart. And in this way, we can become, inshallah, the recipients of forgiveness of Allah, mercy of Allah in this month of Ramadan. The Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith that when it's time for evening and when you intend to sleep, then try to purify your heart of any such ill feelings towards fellow human beings, towards fellow believers. Because this is my sunnah, and whoever does amal on my sunnah will be in Jannah with me together. So today we can revive this sunnah and we can purify our hearts and learn to forgive other people. Tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will raise us up, will put us in places in the company of the Prophet ﷺ in Jannah. To take a revenge and to respond to a stone with a brick, that's a very bad thing in our deen. And you know, people make mistakes all the time. And sometimes, you know, when you're living in a, you know, if you're living in a society, there are, you know, you have relationships and people are bound to make mistakes. So if people are making mistakes, what the Sharia teaches us is that we just learn to let go. We learn to forgive. And on the other hand, if a person makes a mistake and they come to you and they ask for forgiveness and he says that, no, I won't forgive him, then the Sharia says that if he's asking for forgiveness and he does not forgive him, then this is a very big sin. In one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that if a person comes to you and he says that I made a mistake, please forgive me, and the other person says, no, I will not forgive you, then the Prophet ﷺ is saying that this person should not see me in Qiyamah at the Hawza Kawthar. I don't like to see this person's face. Now, who can say that I will not accept the forgiveness of my brother? Or when the Prophet ﷺ is saying that I don't want to see that person's face on Hawza Kawthar, I don't like to see that person's face. So a husband cannot say that I won't forgive my wife. A wife should not say that I cannot forgive my husband. In our life, if someone makes a mistake, we have to learn this principle of forgiving the other person, so that in return, Allah Ta'ala will forgive our sins. Just sometimes it happens that the other person has done something to you which is terrible, and you have no inclination to forgive. Yani, it's such a terrible pain that you cannot bring yourself to forgive. So now what should you do in such a situation? One of the greatest examples that we have is a story of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. In his household, there was a young man, a Sahabi by the name of Hazrat Mistah radiallahu ta'ala an. And then in Medina Munawwara, at the time when there were some munafiqeen who had slandered Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was the daughter of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. And these munafiqeen, they had made this into a very big issue, started this negative propaganda, and made this the talk of the town. So in that negative propaganda, there were some simple Muslims who were also swept away. And they also started thinking the same way about Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala an. One of them was Hazrat Mistah radiallahu ta'ala an. And when Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala found out that even Hazrat Mistah is thinking in the same way, so he became very upset. Because it was his own daughter, and the issue was about his own daughter. And he had a double grief. One first was that Mistah was his relative. So he had expectations from him that you're my relative at the end of the day. And secondly, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu used to give some monthly income to him because he was a poor Sahabi. So he would support him, give him some money, give him some provision, some risk. He would do bhalai with him. So he had double grief that I am doing khair and goodness to him, and in return he is slandering my own daughter. So he thought that in his heart he made this intention that Mistah, I will not forgive him. And in terms of his niyat and in terms of his response, it was a true, it was, you know, he had expectations. He wanted that when I'm doing so much goodness, he should also respond with goodness. Why is he slandering my own daughter? So khair, he made this intention that I will not forgive him. But Allahu Akbar Kabira. Allah is very big. Allah is Azim. Allah at that point revealed an ayat in the Quran. And this very ayat, وَلْيَعْفُ وَلْيَسْفَهُ وَلْيَعْفُ, forgive one another. وَلْيَسْفَهُ, forget the mistakes of one another. Live with one another. We live with love and affection with one another. And then what did Allah Ta'ala say next? Ala tuhibbuna an yaghfira Allahu lakum. Don't you love that in return of this forgiveness, Allah will forgive you? Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, he heard this ayat of the Quran and immediately he said, I have forgiven Mistah. I hope that in return, Allah will forgive all my sins. Our deen is so beautiful. Allahu Akbar. This is that kitab. This is Quran. Sharia is teaching us step by step, counseling you, teaching you that stop, forgive, forgive. And there is no way out. And you think that you are truthful, you are right, you are on haq. And the gham and the sadness that is in your heart, that's also right. Then Allah says, I, your Rabb, say to you, that you forgive your brother and in return Allah will forgive all your sins. Now, is there anyone who can say that I don't need Allah's forgiveness? Allahu Akbar. We are not angels. We are human beings. We are only hopeful of Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. And that's why we should try to live with each other in such a way that we forgive each other. The Prophet ﷺ, if you look at the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, he also never got angry about his own personal issues. Once Aisha radiallahu anha asked him, what was the most difficult period of your life? The hardest day of your life? And the Prophet ﷺ said that it was has been 9 years, but the day of Taif, I still feel the grief about what happened at Taif. Everyone has some day in their life, some issue in their life. Everyone has some sort of a story like that. If you start thinking about that day or that sadness in your life or that episode in your life, you can sit there and you can start crying. That grief is still so fresh, even though it might have happened many, many years ago. That gham is taza, it's there. For the Prophet ﷺ, that day, that grief was ta'if. And we can only imagine that going to ta'if when your own people, your own family, your own khandan, your own relatives, all of them, they've rejected you. Now, we get so upset if our family even says the slightest thing to us. We have no forbearance. Imagine that your whole family outrightly rejects you. And you say that maybe I should go and check out my extended family members in Taif. So he's going all by himself, walking all by himself to Taif, going there and being then run out of town, not just by the adults, but also by the children. And not only being run out, but also being hit and injured, that he's bleeding. The Prophet ﷺ is bleeding and being run out of that town. You can imagine the gham, the sadness, and the humiliation that a person might feel at that. And at that time, one feels anger. That why did these people treat me like this? And at that time, Allah Ta'ala sent Sayyidina Jibreel al-Islam to say that if you want, we can get rid of everyone here. And the Prophet ﷺ said, no. No, that maybe there might be some children born among them who would be Muslims. This is future thinking. This is positive thinking. Many, many famous religious people actually, then they came from the people of, from the children of Taif. This is the forgiveness of the Prophet ﷺ. Even in that time, when that baddua would have been accepted, he chose to forgive, he chose to make dua. That is a time of qubuliyat. Actually, that actually is a time of qubuliyat. Literally, when we are wronged, we are tempted, our nafs wants us to do it, our desires want us to make that baddua, we want to hurt that person, harm that person, we want that person to feel the same hurt that we felt, and that you say no to your nafs, and you say, I want to be afu, I want to be forgiving, and I will make dua. That Allah Ta'ala, maybe Allah give him hidayah or her hidayah. Allah give them happiness. Allah bring them on the straight path. We don't want to say that. We don't want to make that, though. That's the last thing that you're thinking at that time. But to force your nafs, to force ourselves to say it, it requires a lot of zarf and forbearance, but also a lot of forgiveness. It requires a very big heart. Like you say in English, that if you want to run a big show, you need a big heart, right? And I think we need to have this saying somewhere in our house also. To run a big show, you need a big heart. To run a big family, you need a big heart. To run a big institution, you need a big heart. To run anything, you need a big heart. Why? Because there'll be ups and downs. It doesn't matter who you live with, wherever you live, which family background you belong to, you need a big heart. You need to be forgiving. So this is something that you see in the life of the Prophet ﷺ. And another famous example, once the Prophet ﷺ in the time of Makkah Mukarrama, you know when the people of Makkah, this is the Fatah Makkah, that returning and sort of conquering Makkah Mukarrama. This is probably one of the most celebrated times of the Muslims in the early years. That you, at that time, to go back to that same city that kicked you out. When the Prophet ﷺ came back to Makkah Mukarrama, he first went to Khane Kaaba, Baytullah Sharif. And when he went there, the first thing he did was to ask for the keys. And the keys at that time, they belonged to a man named Usman. He was not a Muslim. So the Prophet ﷺ asked Usman, give me the keys. And then he opened the door, he went inside, he prayed. And while he was praying, Abu Bakr, Siddiq, Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Ali, all the big Sahaba were standing outside. And obviously it happens that when a person is successful, they're victorious, you select the people that are close to you. So everyone was waiting for the Prophet ﷺ to come out so that they could see who will he give the keys to. Some said that it would be given to Hazrat Abu Bakr, some said to Hazrat Ali, to Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Usman. Everyone was waiting to find out who was going to get the keys. And obviously, you give the keys to the people who are your closest followers. When the Prophet ﷺ came out, he looked at that same Usman, who was not a Muslim at this time. And he said, Usman, do you remember when I was leaving for Hijrah? I was leaving Makkah Mukarrama and I came to Baytullah Sharif and I really wanted to go inside. It was a big desire of my heart that I could go in and pray. I asked you, O Usman, can you give me the keys? Can you open the doors for me so that I can pray inside? And you said, no, you did not allow me to go inside. And at that time, I was very hurt. And I was in great grief about separating from Baytullah, about leaving Makkah Mukarrama, not knowing when I might again see the Baytullah Sharif. And at that time I said, O Usman, a day will come when I will be in your place and you will be in my place. And that time has come. Allah Ta'ala has made my words into truth. I'm in your position where I have the keys and you are in the weaker position. But O Usman, I'm not going to do what you did to me. And he gave Usman the keys and he said that these keys will stay with you and they will stay with your family until the end of time. Allahu Akbar. Even today, the keys, they stay in the family of that one person named Usman radiallahu ta'ala. This was the forgiveness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But most people, when it comes to their children, they melt. Their hearts are very soft. If someone hurts you, you're not offended that much. But when someone hurts your child, if someone could kill your child, most people can't bear that. They can't forgive that. Now, in the life of the Prophet ﷺ, he had a daughter named Zainab. And he said about her that she was tormented because she accepted Islam. And her husband at that time had not accepted Islam. So they did not let her leave Makkah Mukarrama. When they wanted to emigrate from Makkah Mukarrama to Medina Tayyiba, the husband and his family did not allow her to leave Makkah Mukarrama. And finally, when they let her leave for Medina Munawwara, they said that we are taking your son. When she was leaving, so she was expecting at that time. And then some of her relatives, they came and then they hit the camel. They wanted her to come back, not to leave. So they hit the camel on which she was journeying. And that made her fall. And she fell off the camel. And she hurt herself. And then they took the son and they told her that you can go, but your son is not going to be allowed to go with you. And because of that fall, she hurt her back and she went through a miscarriage. And you can imagine going through a miscarriage and then on top of that, having to travel in that day and age for 2 weeks, or like 14 days journey from Makkah Mukarrama to Medina Tayyiba. So 2 weeks by camel to Medina Tayyiba, having a miscarriage at the same time. And it is said that it was because of these injuries that she eventually passed away. So the Prophet ﷺ, the man who hit the camel and made it fall, his name was Hibar bin Aswad. And the Prophet ﷺ later, at the time of Fatah Makkah, he forgave him also. He was one of those people who the Prophet ﷺ forgave at that time. So this is forgiveness. Giving people their right when they have wronged you. Forgiving people even when they have hurt you. This is the akhlaq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the akhlaq of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should remember our legacy. We should remember our Allah, our Rabb, and the sifat of our Rabb, that He is Al-Afu. And we should remember our Nabi, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the sifat of our Nabi. We should remember our legacy. This requires us that we remember our humanity, to remember that these sifat, these attributes, these are sifat that a moment should try to strive for, at least in some aspects of our life. And no better opportunity and no better month than this month of Ramadan. We make dua to Allah Ta'ala that may Allah Ta'ala grant all of us as individuals, as collectives, as an ummah, may Allah Ta'ala grant all of us this sifat of forgiveness. May Allah Ta'ala make us people who are quick to forgive others, so that Allah Ta'ala also will forgive us quickly on that day. May Allah Ta'ala make us forgiving towards our fellow Muslim brothers, our sisters. May Allah Ta'ala make us forgive our fellow human beings. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. Subhana rabbil al muhammad allahumma salli ala sayyidina muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina muhammad wa barik wa sallim rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al khasirin allahumma ati nafsi taqwaha wa zakkiha anta khayru man zakkaha anta waliyuha wa mawlaha اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعبادك الصالحون ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعبادك الصالحون وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا كاملا ويقينا صادقا ورزقا واسعا وقلبا خاشعا ولسانا ذاكرا ورزقا حلالا طيبا وتوبة قبل الموت وراحة عند الموت ومغفرة ورحمة بعد الموت والعفو عند الحساب والعفو عند الحساب والعفو عند الحساب والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار برحمتك يا عزيز يا غفار رب زدني علما والحقني بالصالحين ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.